This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour number two of the Blitz starts now, live here on Fan Run Radio. As always, on FanRunRadio.com, click the live link at the top if you want to listen to the live stream. You can follow us on Periscope, see our smiling faces at Fox Sports Knox. That's on Facebook Live and on our Twitter Live account. And as always, if you like apps, we have one of those. You can take us wherever you may go with the Fan Run Radio app. Download it today. FM 105.7 WKG and AM 1340. Now it's time for a little opening drive and first down. Well, in the news of the NBA world, we had some big shakers over the weekend. Obviously, a big trade for the Lakers. But Chris Paul declines the $44 million player option on his contract for next season with the Suns. But it seems that they might negotiate a new deal once talks begin tonight at 6 p.m. But he had a midnight deadline last night. Or today, this morning, to decline the option to become an unrestricted free agent. You think Chris Paul re-signs with the Suns, or could he go elsewhere? Does he really have another shot to win a title with the Suns next season? That's the question I want to ask. If he comes back, are they any type of favorite?
I don't think so.
I think the chips just fell in their favor this year. Like, it was just, you know, circumstance. Like, there's no way that team can get back to the finals.
You think maybe he tries to team up with Kawhi, who also declined his?
Yeah.
Well, Kawhi only declined to be able to restructure. He's going back to the Clippers.
Oh, is he? I saw where he did decline as well.
Yeah, he declined. Yeah, he declined just to restructure, but is fully expected to be a Clipper next year. Chris Paul, I still could see maybe going back to Phoenix, even though he declined that option. And I don't think Phoenix necessarily just lucked into the finals either.
I think they're a good team.
But it's like he said, the chips just kind of
they got some breaks, like, but at the same time, I mean,
Nuggets will have Jamal Murray again this year.
The Lakers
have beefed up. They won't be injured. They'll have more rest. The Mavericks likely to be a better team going into next season. Like the Warriors, Klay Thompson comes back. Like it's going to be pretty tough in the West once again. So that's why I'm saying, like, I don't know if their path to the finals is as, you know, foreseeable as we saw it this past year. Like this past year, really, like, oh, they're one of the best teams in the West. The way they're playing. All these other teams have injuries. Like, this lines up perfect for the Phoenix Suns to go to the finals. I don't think that's the case next season. I do not think that's the case. So, we will continue to monitor that. I thought whenever he declined his option, would he go take, like, a vet league minimum and go play with his buddy LeBron James? LeBron, Westbrook, AD. Hey, that to me sounds like a formula for an NBA Finals
I think if
run.
They wouldn't have gotten Westbrook. Maybe.
Well, Westbrook is kind of like a hybrid guard, even though we know he plays point guard and all that he does, triple-double machine. So I was thinking, well, they could put him at the two, and you have a legitimate point guard of Chris Paul at the one.
That can make sense. I think wherever Chris Paul goes, it's to chase a ring and potentially
at this point,
retire after he gets one.
So we'll continue to watch that as that news will roll out tonight and tomorrow. Second down in Philadelphia, we got a problem. Eagles rookie wide receiver Devonta Smith is going to miss camp time now after spraining his knee, listed week to week on the team's injury report. It says not really a lot of concern. He should be back sooner than later is what the Eagles are saying. What we think about the Eagles, I know we'll get to them in our previews as we go along this week, but Jalen Hurts going to be the starter this year. Smith, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner out of Alabama, they get the team up again. Jalen Reagor, their number two wide out. But injury news, not the greatest thing for Devonta Smith and those little legs. I'm not a skinny guy.
I'm not a big fan of Hurts.
Really?
At the quarterback position.
I just want to see what he can do. I
want to see what he can do too, but I don't think he's going to be the savior.
I don't think there's any chance in hell he's a savior, even though I do like Jalen Hurts a lot as a player. And, you know, he's in the NFC, so I have no problem with him being good, and it would be fun. He won the one game against the Saints where, you know, they threw a new offense at the Saints, and he ran the ball a ton, and the Saints started Taysom Hill at quarterback, and everyone freaked out like he was going to be the next thing. I mean, at the end of the day, he's just all right, and the Eagles have a lot of work to do around him.
I mean, that division's, you know, up for the taking, so, I mean –
Think that division's a lot better now. I think the football team and the Cowboys both have a chance to be pretty good teams.
I mean, I think any team that wins that division, I will not be surprised one way or the other.
Yeah.
Is what I mean. Like,
yeah, that's true.
All right, third down. Maybe some problems in Nashville, but Tennessee Titans wideout Julio Jones has denied all allegations involving his involvement in selling marijuana on the black market. That's right. He was accused of money laundering in a lawsuit. Him and former teammate Roddy White were laundering, allegedly, more than $3 million per month since March. A new lawsuit from California-based company Genetics accused the two and their business partners of, quote, diverting cannabis products from an otherwise legal cultivation and distribution operation to black market sales through White's company, SLW Holdings, according to Pro Football Talk and Larry Brown. Larry Brown Sports reported that Genetics obtained a license to legally grow cannabis in California and leased a facility. But Genetics then hired a man named John Van Beek to help with construction and running that facility. And apparently, I guess, Roddy White and Julio Jones, allegedly, were selling it on the black market to their own holdings company. What do you guys think about this? A little trouble in Nashville? You worried about Julio?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about this last week, too.
I don't remember what's talking about it.
I don't
know
either.
Talk Sports were talking about it when I left. And
maybe we talked about it during the break. I mean, the story came out last Wednesday, I think.
I thought it was just Friday it came out.
I'd only heard about Roddy White's involvement. Yeah. I didn't even know Julio was linked.
Julio was also involved.
It came out like last Wednesday or Thursday, and you know, there's no really legal trouble. Like, there's no concerns on that front for the Titans or Julio. At the end of the day, you know, he might lose some money, but it's not like illegal. I mean, it's not like a loss.
No, it's civil,
like,
civil lawsuit.
Yeah, so
not
it's
anything.
Just,
you know,
it's like
punishable.
A money thing, but from what I read about it, it looks like, you know, they just got into, you know, a marijuana business and had this business partner and pretty much were just letting him run things. And he had a lot to do with the shady stuff more than Julio and Roddy White.
Yeah.
That's based off of what I've read.
Well, we'll continue to watch that. I just thought it was pretty interesting, you know. Titans fans, you're a little worried about Julio. And fourth down, mentioned this earlier, but we'll go back to it because I want to talk about it more. But Simone Biles coming back to compete in the Beam Final. What do you guys think this says about her? She was experiencing the twisties. Now she's going to compete. Is this overcoming it, or is this maybe because of the criticism?
If I had to guess, I would say it's more to do with the criticism. But either way, I'm just happy I get to watch her perform again.
Me too.
She's,
I hope she comes out and gets gold.
She's electric to watch her. You know, anytime she steps out there, I mean, she's must see TV.
She's the GOAT.
So, I mean, regardless of the reasoning, I'm glad she's back.
I agree. Charlie?
I hope she's just in a better place already. And that's why she's competing again. But I hope she goes out and wins gold, obviously.
You always root for your country.
Yeah, I mean, she's thrilling to watch. I was a little disappointed in her for dropping out of some of the earlier events, but you know, at the same time, it's her right to do whatever she wants.
Yeah, the team said she'd be evaluated every day in a series of posts on Instagram Friday. Still, she still said she was experiencing the phenomenon, which is known as twisties, in which gymnasts feel like they get lost in the air, and said, quote, her mind and body are simply not in sync. But as we learned, she will compete for the Beam Final today.
What? What a weird...
The twisties. It's like the
yips. How are we supposed to take that seriously when you
give
a name
it
like the twisties, guys? Come on. Come on, gymnastics. Give it like an official sounding name, and that'll scare people.
Why can't they just call it the Yips also?
Yeah, like, maybe they should just call it the Yips as well.
I feel like that's a universally like known issue.
Well, you know, she was favoring a medal, but she got a bad case of the twisties, and you know, now she's just chilling back in the room. Man. You know, you don't want to get the twisties.
Nobody wants the twisties, man. They're bad. Biles, who is 24, won bronze on the beam in 2016 at the Rio Games, but she is the three-time world champion on the event. So we will be rooting her on, and hopefully she does take the gold and restores herself back to the GOAT status. Hey, that was your opening drive for Monday, August 2nd.
Bonus fifth down?
Go for it.
John Fulkerson has been having his Powell's press conference today.
Have you been watching it? We were supposed to send you there.
I've been trying to keep up with it. So Powell's says they don't open new restaurants until the new leader is ready to run the new restaurant. And that's why they haven't expanded nearly as much as people thought they should. Mm-hmm. John Fulkerson said during the press conference that he's ready to be that guy in Knoxville and open his own Pals.
Okay.
What a weird turn of events that could be.
He's going to own a Pals.
What if instead of, you know, going to play scrap around in some overseas basketball for, you know, a couple years or whatever else, he just graduates and stays in Knoxville and opens his own Pals.
Hey, living the dream.
Just the full, like, just the somewhere, American dream just somewhere right near the strip. Just the folky Pals.
I feel like you used to see stuff like that all the time where, like, athletes who weren't good enough to go pro just start opening restaurants near their campus.
Yeah, I mean, or even the ones that can, I mean, just open restaurants near their campus. Eddie George has a great restaurant in Columbus, Ohio.
Brian Arakpo and Michael Griffin opened the cupcake shop in Austin.
So was that that was an actual cupcake shop not just for the commercial?
They really have a cupcake shop in Austin, Texas.
That's just such a weird thing.
Two big beefy boys running a cupcake
shop. Also, I think Arakpo's vegan too. So like,
you can make
vegan cupcakes, but I'm sure there's not a great market for an entirely vegan.
Well, they probably
cupcakes
make regular cupcakes too.
Yeah, I bet they have some vegan options though. Hey, former Tennessee tight end, a sixth down, Luke Stocker, is headed to the Titans.
Yeah, I was going to tell you that in our AFC South preview. You better watch the freak out. Super Bowl bound after that news. Luke Stocker, I think we should try the 4th-and-1 fullback dive with Luke Stocker again this year.
Second step.
Cost us
Titans.
One game, but law of averages tells us it'll win us the next.
865-546-8200 is our number if you want to chime in with us. We're going to take a quick timeout. On the other side, we will start back up with our NFL divisional preview. AFC South on the books today. Keep it locked here for Fan Run Radio.
I get those goosebumps every time, yeah. You come around, yeah. You ease my mind, you make everything feel fine. Worry about those comments, I'm way too numb, yeah.
Welcome back to the Blitz, rolling right along here. FM 105.7, WKGN AM 1340. But before we get to our previews, I need to let you guys know something. Portions of Hour 2 are brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking new users up with an epic summer games bonus, people. That's right, epic summer games bonus. Just place your first bet on any summer games sport risk-free. That's right, new users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet does not win. To get you started, hey, here's some of my picks. Take the U.S. men's basketball to win. They have hit their stride. It is time. Maybe even want to bet on some gymnastics later on in the night or as the week goes along. But I like the men's basketball team. Maybe you too. Maybe you do too. You're a first-time user. Bet on them to win. But you could bet on any event. Track and field. And more, like I said, gymnastics. All kinds of events to bet on. Promotions like this are just one of the reasons that I love betting with America's number one sports book, and that is FanDuel. It's easy to use, safe and secure, and fast payouts, people. Get paid in as little as 24 hours. So go ahead and download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today with promo code BLITZ and go for the gold. That's promo code BLITZ on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 and older and present in the state of Tennessee. First online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions do apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for more details. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Gambling on the Olympics is a blast.
It's fun. It's so much fun. And it's even better if you use the promo code BLITZ to help you out, people. But it is a lot of fun. Charlie will tell you, he bets on all the Olympic events.
There's nothing like gambling on equestrian and watching horses dance and having no idea if you're winning or losing, and then all of a sudden someone's just celebrating and you have to look up if it's the same name you clicked or not.
Maybe you need to call a Tennessee Red Line. You're gambling on equestrian.
See, Chance, I prefer to look at it as I'm gambling on the Olympics.
Okay. I can do equestrian. I tried to watch it one day. It was really bad.
It's not fun.
I couldn't get behind it. But hey, something we can get behind is the NFL Hall of Fame game Thursday. AFC South preview today. Charlie, he is our preview guy. He asks us the tough questions. He throws it around. Let's do it. This is where you guys are going to be happy today. Get to talk about y'all's Titans.
Let's start with the bottom feeders, shall we?
Okay. Texans.
Texans, the Jaguars, two bad teams.
Well, we know the Texans are going to be pretty tough. Deshaun Watson, they still might be listening to offers for him. Apparently, he's
been playing scout team safety.
Really?
In training camp. As well as just, like, standing in other places. He's, like, their four-string quarterback currently.
Oh, so they definitely aren't trying to put him on the field.
I don't really know. I don't think anyone knows what to do. The NFL hasn't addressed
the situation
anything. So the Texans are like, well, I guess we have to let them practice or else, you know, and then he's just like, well, I guess I have to practice or else I have to pay this money back.
I don't really want to be here, so put me in safety.
He doesn't want to be there. They don't want him to be there. So I think, yeah, just like go stand. Deshaun, we need to look for cover two. Just go stand over there and put your hands up and – we're gonna make Tyrod Taylor practice dropping it over the safety.
Although okay. I like Tyrod Taylor though.
Tyrod, big fan.
Yeah.
Put some respect on his name, Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, yeah, it's Tyrod. Everybody, I guess myself. But uncertainty surrounding that situation.
So yeah.
Do they have any chance of being good?
Here's my question for you guys: will they be the worst team in football?
No.
Who will be then? What will prevent the Texans from being the worst team in football?
The Jets. I still think the Jets are going to be bad.
I think the Jets are going to be bad, too.
Worse than the Texans?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's going to be a toss-up.
The Lions. The Lions.
The Lions.
I think the toss-up is between the Lions really and the Texans. Too. But I think the Texans will still be worse because...
Well, Texans, didn't they sign... They signed what? Phillip Lindsay and Mark Ingram?
They signed like 17 veteran running backs, and then they just went and signed every player
They have David Johnson still. They have Phillip Lindsay, Mark Ingram, and Rex Burkhead.
Yeah, they went and tried to sign every 70 overall player in Madden, if possible. Like they signed like 30-something players this offseason, and I don't think that any of them are higher than like a 72 overall in Madden.
How far is David Johnson?
Like I think they just tried to sign the 38th best player from every roster. It was such a weird. Nothing they did this entire offseason made any sense at all. If you think the Jets will be worse than the Texans, though, I would love to make a bet with you right now.
$5.
I was thinking like a punishment of some kind.
You sell me breakfast.
How many times do I have to tell you, Chance Collins, text me your order the night before so I know what to get you?
You think they're going to be the worst team in football, though?
I think there's a pretty good chance they are. You know, obviously things, they're also a little bit unpredictable because, you know, what if Deshaun Watson gets cleared and ends up being their starting quarterback and then all of a sudden that team doesn't look too bad? You know, it looks like a team that can win.
I don't know. Even with Deshaun Watson as their quarterback, I still don't think they're...
I don't think they're...
They had Deshaun Watson last year.
I don't think they're going to push for anything, but as much as I dislike...
How many games did they win last year?
Not that many.
Six or seven, something like that.
You got to remember last year, though.
Five or six.
They were the worst team in football at one possession games. I mean, every game they were right in it and easily had a chance to win any of them.
They should have beaten the Titans both games.
Yeah, I mean, they should have beaten a lot of teams that they lost to. So if they get Deshaun Watson back, I'm not ruling them out. Either way, I don't really expect them to be, you know, competitive in terms of the playoff hunt. But if Deshaun Watson is not their quarterback, you know, I think it'll come down to them and the Lions for the worst team in football. And if I'm comparing the two, you know, I would take Jared Goff over Tyrod Taylor. I would take easily, you know, the coaching staff of the Lions over the coaching staff of the Texans. And yeah, I guess the Lions' best player, top talent over the Texans' top talent, maybe.
I mean, they got Swift out there.
I mean, yeah, you have a TJ good offensive. You have a good offensive line. Both of these teams' offensive line, or okay, so both of these teams have good offensive line men that are part of a mediocre offensive line. Frank Ragnow, Larry Tunsil. The Lions have a good tight end. Neither team really has decent receivers. And then defensively, they both have one to two good players like Zach Cunningham for the Texans. The
Texans paid him a bag, too.
He deserved it. But anyway.
That's a lot to pay a middle linebacker.
Yeah, the Texans, just not great.
Yeah, they're definitely struggling.
And speaking of teams that have been...
It's kind of like their downfall was pretty quick, too, because, like, you know, what, 2 years ago, they're pretty decent. They were competing with the Titans for the top of that league.
They were beating
the Did they win the division?
They were winning the division.
Yeah, the year that they beat the Bills in the playoffs?
Yeah, so it's like that just went down quick.
Weird
the demise,
to see,
but I think we're all in agreement. They're going to finish last in the AFC South,
unless Deshaun Watson starts at quarterback. Yes, but I don't think any of us.
I don't know. I think
Deshaun
even if he comes back, I still think they finish last.
I don't think they finish last just because he's good enough
to win about six games.
Yeah, I mean, just like last year,
he is pretty decent.
Other team you're looking at that's been bad for a while, trying to not be bad anymore. Except this is a team that actually has some hope, the Jaguars.
All right, hold your thoughts on the Jaguars, because there's a lot to get there, too. First-year coach Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence coming in. I want to spend some time there. We'll take a quick time out. That way we can take our time through this preview. And on the other side, we'll continue our AFC South preview. Keep it locked here for the Blitz on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to the Blitz. Thank you for tuning in to us and listening. Hour number one's already up if you need to go recap that, anything you missed. But now we're doing our AFC South preview, division by division. We're going to do that until we hit the Hall of Fame game on Thursday night. Next up, the Jacksonville Jaguars. We talked a little bit about the Texans on the other side. Now we'll go ahead and get to the Jaguars. First-year coach, Urban Meyer. New starter at quarterback, the phenom, Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, and they had an intriguing offseason, obviously. You had Tim Tebow, you draft Trevor Lawrence.
Tebow's still on the team, right? Yeah.
Yeah, caught a touchdown in practice the other day.
So. Hey! Woo! Take that over-under on Tebow touchdowns on the season. I think it was like 5, wasn't it?
No, I think it was
it was 0.5.
Oh. I think I'm taking that over.
I'm taking the under. I don't think
he's not making the roster, dude.
I don't think he makes the roster either.
Really?
He might make the roster just because Urban loves himself.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve to make the roster. I'll say that. I still don't think he makes the roster.
I guess
I could see it happening.
SEC Nation won't be the same without Tebow.
Tebow just broke my brain for a second there. They draft Travis Etienne, obviously, too. That didn't make any sense at all.
Didn't make any sense.
Like the least sense of any draft pick in recent history, because they signed a running back this offseason.
The Raiders taking Cleveland Farrell.
And Carlos, yeah. The Raiders taking Arnett,
yeah.
Maybe. But still, this one made less sense. Because you have James Robinson, who broke out as one of the best rookie running backs in a while. And then you went and signed Carlos Hyde, I believe, right? Yeah. And now drafting ETN too, just so you could have a third down running back, even though James Robinson was a good third down running back. So I said on the radio the next day, I remember, the only reason this will make sense is if they use ETN at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And he's been working there at times this offseason. But how big of a jump do you think the Jags make with Trevor Lawrence in his first year and with Urban Meyer in his first year? And will Urban Meyer ultimately work out for the Jags?
I think he works out. I think that they are a game or two under 500 in the first year.
I think I think they make a similar jump to what the Bengals did with Burrow.
Yeah.
So, but I think they only won four games. I think the Bengals did. So I could see him around 4, 5, 6 wins, right around there. And now with the extra game, I don't think six wins is out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, I mean, the extra games really just throws everything off, but
I mean, they should have two wins on their schedule playing the Texans.
I mean, yeah, I don't see them being competitive or ever really realistically being a part of the playoff race. But
no, I don't
know.
You know, they might steal a win against a good team here, beat a couple bad teams there, and get to 4 or 5 wins.
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals beat the Titans last year. I could definitely see the Jags doing that to another team.
Look, Trevor Lawrence is going to have weapons in year one. You know, they're a little weak at tight end, but
they play the Texans week one.
Yeah, I mean, so James Robinson, Travis Etienne, Carlos Hyde, you know, that's a pretty solid running back room.
They don't have the worst, like, the...
No, they have weapons. Pretty, like, yeah. It's not even like, oh, they're not that bad. They're good.
They have a pretty favorable schedule,
Look at their wide receivers. DJ Chark, Marvin Jones, Laviska Shenault.
Laviska Shenault?
Yeah. What did I say? Shenault? Am I not saying
Sheenhold or something? You said
I don't know. Well, anyway, Laviska Shenault Jr. I feel like I'm saying the same way as you. I guess I'm not. You know, Philip Dorsett, Colin Johnson. A lot of good wide receivers. They added Laquan Treadwell for camp, but DJ Chark is a really solid wide receiver one.
I don't know. I mean, I think he's
solid, and I'm not saying like he's up there with the best. I'm saying like he's a solid wide receiver one. I think there are teams that would like to have him as a wide receiver one.
I don't think as a wide receiver one. I think as a wide receiver two, sure, but
he would be one of the better wide receiver two options in the league. But wide receiver one, certainly, you know, that's what he is. I guess he's decent enough. I think one of the things people overlooked last year with the Jags is that. And why I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to change as much as people think, they didn't get bad quarterback play last year. Gardner Minshew didn't do a bad job.
Mm-mm.
Nick, until they bitched him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you compare the advanced whatever ratings, efficiency ratings, advanced statistics of the Jags quarterback play to the league average, it was around that. The biggest problem was they had an awful defense and an offensive line that needed a lot of work, and they haven't done a lot to improve that. So I don't think they'll be that much better this year. And part two to that question, I don't think Urban Meyer will be a good head coach at all. I think he's going to fail miserably. Everything that made him a good coach in college, I mean, his biggest strengths don't translate to the NFL. Roster building, I mean, like, he was a great recruiter. That doesn't translate to the NFL. And he's a major control freak. That's not going to work well. You know, I just think the things that made him great in college won't make him great in the NFL at all. He's going to freak out and not be able to handle this losing at the start. You know, I don't think he's going to be able to handle not having in control of the entire organization. It's going to go pretty badly, in my opinion. So go ahead and mark that down.
How many years until he starts having heart problems?
In his third year, there will be another health issue or another retirement if he doesn't just get fired. But the two teams this division ultimately comes down to, the Titans and the Colts. And the Colts not having their best start to camp. They're dealing with some injuries, and now Carson Wentz has a foot injury. He's out indefinitely. Will miss the preseason. And is potentially going to need surgery that would require to miss him at least the start of the regular season as well. Their options behind him, conveniently enough, look like Nick Foles.
Jake Fromm.
Nick Foles, Jacob Eason.
It's Jake Fromm.
Is it Jake Fromm?
Yeah.
I feel like they're the same person.
They're not.
Well, I mean, I know they're not, but it just feels like they're the same person.
No, it's Jake Fromm.
Yes.
Okay, well, Jake Fromm. No, it is Jacob Eason.
Yeah, Jake Fromm's on the Bills.
It is Jacob Eason. Okay, okay
Jacob
yeah.
Eason.
That's what I thought. But yeah, so
they basically are the same person.
Their options,
they both went
yeah,
to
their options are Jacob Eason, Sam Ehlinger, Brett Hundley.
Brett Hundley, Packers had him for a little bit.
Not great. Which one of them will be, you know, the next Nick Foles that comes in and replaces an injured Carson Wentz and then Carson doesn't get his job back? I don't know, but. This Colts team just has areas that are really good and areas that are not great at all. You know, they don't have – it's not – there's not average. Their front seven, fantastic. DeForest Buckner, great player.
So they got a great defensive line.
I didn't like their draft at all, but, you know, they have a great, you know, front seven. They have to replace Denico Autry. They drafted Kwity Paye. I hate Kwity Paye at all. I think he's a terrible prospect, not worth a first-round pick in my eyes. But
I think that's the first time I've ever heard you talk bad about a prospect like that. Usually you're all about him.
Kwity Paye, not a fan at all. Their secondary needs a lot of work. Their offensive line, great, but their receiver room, not deep. Quarterback room, not deep. They have great running backs, though. I mean, they're either really good at positions or below average. There's not, you know, a lot of in between. Still the betting favorite to win the AFC South. How much of a chance do you give them to win this division?
I mean, I think they got a pretty damn good shot. I mean, last season they were right up there with your Titans with aging Phillip Rivers that was, you know, 1 foot out the door because of all the talents that, you know, you're talking about the front seven. And
an aging Phillip Rivers, though, I think is better than a healthy Carson Wentz.
I agree, too. I mean, I thought if Phillip Rivers wanted to come back another year, he's just got that competitive spirit about him. Like, he's a dog. He's a beast. But, yeah, I mean, they were up there last year. I give them a good shot. I think the Titans do ultimately win the division, but I think that they give them a scare for sure.
I mean, I put it at, like, maybe 25 to 30% chance that
they win the division. Scare them a little bit.
I think I would put it at, like,
I would never say 0%.
No.
I mean, the Colts are the Colts. Yeah. And
they're rivalry with the Titans.
They've been the Titans kryptonite.
They have a great coaching staff, a great front office. They're an organization that just gets it. You know?
And they have been the Titans kryptonite for quite some time.
They have, and we've struggled with the Colts. At the end of the day, they just – I don't know if they have enough, especially at the most important position, quarterback, especially if Carson Wentz is hurt, too. Unless Jacob Eason steps up and is a better quarterback than we think, or maybe even Sam Ehlinger, then I just don't see how they win this division. You know, replacing Denico Autry is harder than they think as well. And that secondary, you know, you're going to need a good secondary to be able to beat the Titans. The recipe to beat the Titans is two corners that you're comfortable putting in man coverage and then rushing the passer and stacking the box to stop Derrick Henry, and being comfortable enough to guard AJ and Julio. Well,
see, that might have worked last year. I don't know how it's going to work this year with Julio and AJ.
I mean, it's not going to work, but that's just the best option. The Rams, I think, are the only team that's in the Buccaneers are the two teams that are built to beat the Titans, stop the offense. Yeah. You know, there's other ways to beat the Titans because the defense isn't good, but. The Colts not set to stop the Titans. Kenny Moore and Rocky Sin, those guys aren't guarding Julio and AJ. I think the Titans should run away with this division. The Colts, I give them a 15% chance, and then the Jags and the Texans less than 1%.
Yeah, I mean, this is the Titans' division to lose.
Absolutely, and speaking of the Titans, you know, it's their division to lose, obviously, but are they at the point this year where anything less than a Super Bowl is a disappointment? Not a win, but a berth. A Super Bowl berth, is anything less than that?
Those are such high expectations to put on a team. I think, like, unless you're a team like the Chiefs, you can't put that on them. I would say an AFC championship berth or bust. But, I mean, you still have teams like the Chiefs that you would have to go through. The Bills you're going to have to go through. Either the Ravens or the Browns are going to have to go through, which I think the Titans are better than both those teams. But it's a toss-up between the Bills and the Chiefs. So I think it's hard to say Super Bowl or bust, but I think AFC Championship or bust is fair.
For the Titans?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think they're one of about 7 to 9 teams in football that come into this season where anything less than a Super Bowl berth is a disappointment for them. I think they've reached that stage with their roster and with what they've invested where, yeah, if you don't make a Super Bowl, you're going to be disappointed. Now, is that the same thing as me saying I expect the Titans to make the Super Bowl? No, it's not. But they're one of 7 to 8 teams that, you know, that's their goal. You know, their goal was no longer, oh, let's win the division and build, or let's, you know, make it to the AFC Championship and build. It's, hey, let's get to the Super Bowl. You know, it's them, the Chiefs, the Bills, you know, the Packers, the Rams, the 49ers.
Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers. Like, those are the teams where they will feel like they failed if they didn't make the Super Bowl. Is that fair? Maybe, maybe not. You know, is it fair to put that expectations on the Titans? I don't know. But I'm saying internally in their organization, at least, I think they will consider this season a failure, anything short of a Super Bowl berth. And if you look at the last couple seasons, I mean, last year they have the worst defense statistically in decades, in a very long time. And they win the AFC South regardless. The year before that, the 26th worst defense in the NFL. Or, I mean, the 26th best defense in the NFL. So, like, bottom six again. And they still make the AFC Championship game. Their offense is fantastic. And it should only get better. Yeah, you lose Corey Davis and you lose Jonnu Smith. But you're replacing with Julio Jones and Anthony Firkser, which I still say, you know, is a plus at the end of the day. If you subtract Jonnu and Corey Davis from Firkser and Julio Jones, you still end with a positive number.
Oh, I think so, too. I don't think Firkser's that bad.
I think
he's
Firkser,
just an unknown.
Side note, if any of you play fantasy football, make sure you draft Anthony Firkser. He is going
especially in a PPR league,
go off this year. He's going to absolutely go off because he's going to be the guy that you have to make the choice to not pay extra attention to as a defense, first of all. Second of all, Mike Vrabel said he had the best offseason of anyone on the entire team.
And he just doesn't drop passes.
He doesn't.
Got some of the best hands
I've ever seen
for a tight
end. He's
already
been a really solid tight end. He's a great route runner. He gets open. And he has good hands. Now he's going to be the guy. I'm excited for that as well. But the defense being that bad and the Titans still being as successful as they have been, you completely revamp the defense this year. You bring Jim Schwartz in as an advisor. You know, you invest in the secondary. You invest in the pass rush. They don't have to be good. They just need to be average. They just need to be average. I mean, the back-breaking plays in the last two playoff losses are a Lamar Jackson scramble for 55 yards and a touchdown to win that game, and Patrick Mahomes scampering down the sidelines before halftime for a touchdown. You know, both of those two plays were the backbreaker that ultimately lost you the playoffs, knocked you out of the playoffs.
That Patrick Mahomes play still gives me nightmares.
And the pass rush in both seasons has been abysmal. All you have to do is be average. That is it. With an average defense, the Titans can absolutely make the Super Bowl. That's not unreasonable to say. I mean, how do you stop this team? Do you have any ideas? Any ideas? Like, how does the Titans' offense get slowed down by anything other than them failing to execute on their own?
Yeah. They have a good team this year. They've went out and picked up some weapons to get them over that hump. Like you say, I believe AFC Championship or bust is not high expectations. Some people might even say Super Bowl or bust. But it's a tough division, tough conference, the AFC. Still got Patrick Mahomes in this conference and those nasty, nasty Chiefs. So we'll see. I think we're all in agreement. So this is the Titans, AFC South. It's their division to win.
Who has the best year on the Titans offense, Julio or AJ?
Oh, AJ.
The better year.
I think it's AJ.
Yeah. He's probably gonna be a little bit more open since Julio's going to track a lot of double teams.
Yeah, I'm going to go with A.J. Brown, too. Him and Tannehill already have that rapport, and we're getting to see a healthy A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on wood. We still haven't seen that yet.
I know. That's the scary part.
He's a 1,000-yard receiver when he can barely walk in between plays.
Hey, that is our AFC South preview. Looks like the Titans are going to take this one for us. probably followed by the Colts and then Jags and the Texans.
That's
in
how I'd have
last
it.
Place.
That's how I'd have it.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with too. 865-546-8200. If you want to chime in, last call on the other side. Talk Sports is in the building. They're getting ready. This is the Blitz. Keep it locked here on Fan Run Radio. From noon until 3, followed by the Drive from 3 until 6. Overtime 6 until 8. Then we'll kick it off again tomorrow at 7 a.m. with 3 and Out. Local programming from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily, Monday through Friday. That's how we do it here at Fan Run Radio. But as we go ahead and finish our show as we always do, time to hit you with a little If You Haven't Heard.
A couple If You Haven't Heard for all you. Right. First of all, if you haven't heard, speaking of the AFC South and the Titans, first round draft pick Caleb Farley has passed his physical.
Nice.
And is back.
Nice.
He's back, ready to practice back. Today. So is Ty Zambrillo.
And Bud Dupree, I think, got taken off the PUP list.
No, he's back, Bud Dupree as well. Y'all got him from the Steelers, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Things are looking up.
Pretty good for the Titans, huh?
If you haven't heard, I don't think we touched on this in the opening drive, but Kumar Rocker.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that yesterday.
Did not sign.
The Mets are not signing him because they found something wrong with his elbow.
So here's what happened. The Mets evaluated him because they were concerned about his velocity drop. He was one of the prospects that did not submit his medical files before the draft that you could have done. You could have gone and gotten evaluated. The teams had access to him. Scott Boras does not have his clients do so. So the Mets evaluated him after they drafted him and decided that he was not going to be worth their investment because they were concerned about his elbow. His own personal doctors and the ones provided to him by his agent, Scott Boras, vehemently deny these claims and say his elbow is fine. The velocity drop was just a little bit of a usage issue because Tim Corbin was running him into the ground a little bit. Despite that, they were trying to offer him significantly less money than what he was worth under his slot value, and eventually he declined. They could not come to terms with a deal, and the Mets, you know, said that at the end of the day, your first round draft pick should be worth to you, you know, five times more than what you pay for him or whatever else, and he wasn't going to be that. So now his options are to play unaffiliated baseball. So, you know, international, the indie leagues here in the U.S.
You go up to the Cape Cod League?
Can't do that.
No.
That is a summer baseball league. It actually is about to end.
Oh.
But, like, the Pathos All I know is he's
not going back to Vanderbilt.
Or he could go back to Vanderbilt, which he's not going to do.
Yeah, he's already announced.
He's already said he's not going to do that. But he's not able to, you know, become like a free agent or anything else because he can't sign anywhere because the Mets own his rights. Until the draft next year. So then he can re-enter the draft next year.
So he's going to sit out a year.
Well, he's going to play professionally.
He'll probably just go play in some indie ball league and tear up the competition on some poor souls. I would be willing to bet his ERA is going to finish under 0.5.
I just can't believe the Mets didn't sign him. Even if there is an issue with his arm he needs to rehab it, that's a talent you can't let get away from.
Absolutely. He is one of the nicest humans out there. B, one of the most competitive, smartest pitchers available out there in terms of prospects. And C, still a fantastic pitcher. Even when his velocity dropped, he was still fantastic. You know, it just becomes... Maybe instead of one of those blow-you-away lefties, one of those more control-the-game lefties with that mid-90s fastball. He reminds me a lot of Max Scherzer in a lot of ways.
Hey, we'll see. We'll continue to monitor that. Really quick before we get out of here, Miami Heat are trying to figure out a way to reunite free agent DeMar DeRozan with former Raptors teammate Cal Lowry in Miami. Multiple sources tell the Five Reasons Sports Network. So I know that there was a lot of talk Cal Lowry coming to the Heat. They're trying to reunite the brothers. The historic nostalgia.
Oh, also women's basketball just drew Australia.
Hey, that'll do it for us. We have run out of time. Like I said, Talk Sports is up next. I have you covered from noon until 3. It is National Ice Cream Sandwich Day and National Coloring Book Day. For Charlie, for GP3, I am Chance. We'll do it all again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio. This is the Blitz.